Okay, hey, good evening. How are you guys? Hey, let's stand. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of sitting. Let's turn our Bibles to two passages. Let's start in Psalm 90. This passage is a little rough, so we're just going to read it really fast, okay? We don't want anybody to come to church and get depressed here. But it's a good passage, you know, it'll come together. Don't worry. Psalm chapter 90, starting in verse 7, okay? For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. Wow. We finish your years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. They yet boast of only labor and sorrow, for is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Okay, now to a better verse, right? Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. That he would, and this is the Apostle Paul saying a prayer for the church in Ephesus. I mean, let's start in verse 14. This is amazing. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Isn't that good? Like, you know, here is God has given a great shepherd to these people. And it says, for this reason, I bow my knees. And together, like all of us, all of those that are in heaven, we are praying. And this is my prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this service. Thank you for our band. Wow, just an amazing worship service. We ask that you just bless these words. Yes, Lord, we want you to be here. We want your spirit to speak to us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We come here not because we have nothing to do, but because we are hungry for the Lord. Lord, and we ask that you will honor us in that. Just give us yourself. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. For those of you that don't know, my name is Pastor Dennis. So I've been back from China now, I think about 7 or 8 months already. It's gone by really fast. And it's good to be home. You guys are amazing. We're having a lot of fun. Isn't it awesome to have fun at church? You know, I was driving from Philadelphia this morning, and we stopped in Delaware at the rest stop. And I was looking around, you know, there was a lot of people like at the rest stop for lunch, and they were in their nice cars and nice suits, but there weren't so many smiles, you know? And I just think, well, isn't it great that we can come to church, we can hear the word of God and be edified and smile? You know, we can have the joy of the Lord. And to me, that is so amazing. Here in Psalm chapter 90, this is an interesting passage to me, because what this psalmist is talking about, he's talking about the people who are wandering the deserts for those 40 years with Moses. And I find it kind of interesting, because could you imagine yourself wandering the desert for 40 years and seeing miracle after miracle and still not being touched by God? I don't know about you, but that is like a fear I have, that I could come into this place. And we listened to a rap the other night from Eurocon, and Pastor Schaller asked the question, you know, what does it look like to be a greater grace Christian who has been in the church for 30 years? You know, and could you imagine, you know, here you are walking with Moses. You are seeing these miracles of God's, and you see them over and over and over again. You hear the word of God over and over again, and you are not changed, but your heart is hardened more and more. And in Psalm chapter 90 here, he's saying that the Lord, he's kind of representing the Lord as being a Lord of anger. And we kind of get that feeling here. You know, here we are in the desert for 40 years. I'm 70, I'm 80 years old. And the only thing that I remember from the Lord is that he is angry. But when we read the accounts of Israel in the desert, what do we read? We read everything but. We read the faithfulness of God, don't we? We read about how God gave a chance after chance after chance for them to come into the promised land and to be in his will, to be walking beside him. And to me, like one of the other most amazing stories is, here's Moses, he is before the Lord, he comes down and he has to wrap his face because the people of Israel don't want him to see, they don't want to see his face because it's shining. And they said these words, he goes, you speak to God for us. We don't want to speak to God. Wow, those are some powerful words. But here is the psalmist. He is saying that the Lord was angry, and the reason why he was angry is that he was trying to motivate us. Now, just work with me here. He was trying to motivate us to fear him, or to have respect, or to walk with him. Now, God does a miracle. You don't listen. So then all of a sudden, you know, he gets a little angry. How many of your parents were like that, you know? I'm not going to raise my hand because mine might be watching. You know, but isn't that true? Like sometimes as parents, we ourselves, we are gracious to our children. We are loving them. We want them to enter into like a certain kind of place in their life. But they're just not having it, you know. They're just going hysterical. And they continue to be hysterical. And they continue to be hysterical. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's enough. We have like a moment and we're like, no, you need to come. And we physically pick up our children and we bring them into this place that we want them to be in because we know that that is what is best for them. And here is God, it is exactly the same. Like he is there, he is ministering to these people in the desert. He is ministering the word of God. He is ministering his faithfulness. He is ministering, you know, his joy. He is ministering his presence. His presence was there. All these things that as believers we search for, they saw on a daily basis. But they weren't having it, you know. And God just kind of finally says, okay, you know, kind of picks them up and says, here you go. Now you're going to see it. You know, but the thing is like, the psalmist, you know, he is saying these things because it didn't work. I believe it's in James chapter 1. It says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, how many times do we become angry trying to produce, like, godly character? It doesn't do any good, does it? You know, it does not produce the character of God. You know, when we get angry, it does not produce the character of God. What produces the character of God? What produces a healthy respect for who God is? What produces a relationship where I could walk with him and feel like I am in the right place? I can be whole, you know? And it's interesting here, it says in verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. To me, that is like a beautiful passage. Because here it is. Here is Israel there. They feel the anger of God. Although, it's not necessarily what they had to feel. That's not what necessarily was there. They are feeling this anger. And that is how they remember God. And they says, well, if you would have just kind of changed your perspective and realized that your days are short. And I love a lot of the songs we sang tonight because in the songs we sang tonight, there is that kind of feeling that we are going to be before the Lord someday. You know, and maybe we'll be raptured. You know, we've been talking about it, you know, in our church. We could be raptured, but also maybe not. Maybe you're going to be 70. Maybe you're going to be 80 and 90, 100, you know. God knows how old we're going to be. But the thing is like, teach us to number our days. So that way, what does it say? We may gain a heart of wisdom. The King James says that we can apply a heart of wisdom. Like we can apply our hearts in wisdom. And what this means is that we can have an inner man, our inner man, not necessarily our hearts, our inner man, that part that makes us who we really are, not this flesh, not this part that we look at in the mirror, the part that God looks at, the heart. You know, how do you define the inner man? You know, I was reading an article from Israel My Glory, I think it was, talking about how theological terms are being redefined in this age, you know, and we are having to kind of define what we mean when we say the inner man. This is what one author said about the inner man. The inner man is the seat of spiritual influence. It is the sphere of which the Holy Spirit does his renewing and saving work. The inner man is that part of me where I am being influenced by God. And do you know what? You don't have to be sitting in church to be influenced by God. What God would prefer, he wants you to be here, but also God wants to speak to you in the morning. He wants to speak to you in the afternoon. He wants to speak to you in the evening. You know, because he is personal. He wants to influence you spiritually. And he wants you to have the Holy Spirit to renew you and to save you. You know, yes, we are saved once. You know, we say the sinner's prayer. It is like something we do, but it is a condition of our heart where we are accepting the Lord and we are saved. We are a Christian. But do you know what? We're also humans. And we find ourselves in a lot of trouble. A lot like Israel in the wilderness, seeing the miracles of God, but not recognizing them. Seeing, hearing the voice of God, but running away from his voice. Like, we can be like that, can't we? But God wants to save us. Not just at one time. He wants to continually, he is active in our relationship. He is active in your life, where he wants to be your savior. Not once, but again, and again, and again, and again. Every single time that you are in trouble, he wants to be there to save you. And you know what, we find ourselves, much like we heard this morning, we find ourselves growing in maturity, and we find ourselves more dependent on who God is. And we say, here we are, God, you know, I'm in the middle of a storm, I'm in the middle of a desert, you know, and we're looking, God, where are you? I need you. Oh, you're right there, you know. Oh, God, here I am again, a little bit of trouble again, you know, I need you. And we find ourselves, you know, maybe as sinners, we are not like so sinful, you know what I mean? But we can be. But, you know, but we find ourselves more desperate for who God is. We find ourselves hungry for God. And, you know, and just a little interesting question that you could ask yourselves, you know, when is the last time you felt that hunger? Not in a condemning way. But just ask yourselves, God, when was the last time that I felt that hunger for you? Where I need you, where I'm looking for you to be my savior, where I need you to influence me, where I need you to renew me. Like you are here to renew me. Like how I am at work, you know. We were at work the other day and something kind of happened, you know, and I was the reason. And I needed to be renewed. I needed to be renewed. And you know what? There's no shame in that, is there? The shame is that we are walking, we are seeing the miracles of God, and I ignore them. The shame is like when there is the anointing of God, there is the presence of God, and I ignore them. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm right here. I am speaking to you. Will you listen? I want to renew you. I want to save you. He also says this about the inner man. It cannot be used interchangeably with the new man. That's something interesting. Like we can't change the word the new man and the inner man. It's not interchangeable. For it still may be corrupted and subject to vanity and alienated from the life of God. My inner man is not perfect. Actually, it's far from it. That's why we're here, because we need that inner man to be renewed by the living word of God. This is the word of God that is going to renew me. This is the word of God that is going to change my life and make a difference. This is the word of God that is going to be, it is incorruptible. It is not vain. it is not going to alienate me from the life of God. It is going to do the opposite. It is going to bring me into a place where I am experiencing the life of God face to face. And you read the Bible and it says that Moses spoke to God as a friend speaks to a friend. It doesn't say that about the rest of Israel because they were running away from God. But Moses spoke to God as a friend speaks to a friend. Abraham was the father of our faith. And you look at his faith and you say, well, his faith wasn't perfect. No, it wasn't. Moses wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect. Their inner man was corruptible. It was subject to vanity. It was subject to being alienated from the life of God. But they made a choice to allow the word of God to renew them and to save them. And that's the place, you know, when I share from the Bible, I usually share to myself. So if you guys don't like it, I like it, you know. Like I am, you know, I'm talking to myself. I need to be renewed. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Word of God to come into my life and move. I can be corrupted. I can be subject to vanity. I can be alienated from the life of God, but I don't want to be. It also says this, the last thing about the inner man, it says that it is God's image in man. God's image in man. Your inner man is God's image inside of you. Your inner man is God's image in you. And the more we develop that relationship with the Word of God, the more we come to church, the more that we focus on Christ, the more we have wraps together, the more that we have fellowship dinners in our homes, the more we have prayer meetings, the more we have evangelism, the more that we do these kind of things and we begin to see that the image of God is inside of me. Not because of what I am doing. I mean, this is so important. It's not because of what I am doing, but it's because I am surrounding myself in a place where the Word of God is influencing me. I am being influenced by God. I am being influenced by the Word of God in my inner man. You know, so I can have the inner man go into a place where there is wisdom. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I love this verse. You know, it's kind of a classic, right? Let's read it again. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. That's what we talked about this morning. And it was good. The riches of God's glory. What does that mean? You ever think about what does that mean? Like the riches of God's glory. What does that mean? Like I think about glory and I just think about famous people. You know, and yes, they're rich, but they are lacking something. But what is the riches of God's glory? What does that mean? You know, it's interesting. The Greek word for glory, it actually can mean opinion. The riches of God's opinion. In the New Testament, the word glory or this word opinion is always meant for good concerning me. And it results in praise, honor, and glory. Now listen, this is amazing because here is God, the creator of the universe, the same God that led Moses through Israel, the same God that performed all those miracles. He is speaking today. And is he rich? Yes, he is. You know what? And we need to clarify, it says the riches of his glory, not the glory of this world. You know, so when we talk about glory, we can't compare the glory of God with the glory of this world. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about fame. We're not talking about these worldly things. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about something different. We're talking about the opinion or the judgments or the way God thinks. And here's what he's saying here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that the way that God thinks about you, it's good and it's rich. Isn't that beautiful? God's thoughts about you are so rich and they are so good. And those thoughts that he has towards you are meant to lead you into a place where there's praise, honor, and glory in your own life. I love that. You know, sometimes we get this idea like the Christian life is a drag and I'm always meant to suffer, you know? And yes, there is a doctrine of suffering. Yes, there is that there. But do you know what? We are serving the living God. Amen? We are serving the living God. And he has designed me for a certain kind of purpose. And the only way where I don't live in that purpose is if I decide to go against the character of God. When I decide to not allow God to influence my inner man. But if I allow God to influence my inner man, I begin to see, I begin to realize, I begin to read the thoughts of God towards me. And it leads me into a place where there is praise, where there is honor, and there is glory, not from man. This is so important. It's not from man. Again, we are not thinking about the riches of this world. We're thinking about the riches of God. It is not praise from man. It is not honor from man. It is not glory from man, but it is from God. And you know what? That is all that matters. Because one day we are going to be alone before God, and we're going to be like, you know, we're going to be alone before God. We are going to be alone before God. And do you know what he is going to say? He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what? That's what I want to hear. To me, that is all the praise. That is all the honor. That is all the glory that I need, is that when Jesus Christ himself says, well done. It is the riches of his glory that we are strengthened with might. I love this because what this is saying, that God himself is giving his ability to us. When it talks about dunamis power, it's talking about the ability of God. It's the same kind of power where he creates. And you ever find it interesting that as humans, we create? You know, how many of you guys watched the SpaceX program and the rocket go into... Yeah, wasn't that cool? There's only like two of us raising our hand. You know, that was cool. You know, that was historic. That was epic. That was real. But do you know what? Like, here is a... You know, I don't know if this guy, Elon Musk, is, if he's even saved, but, you know, here is a man. He is part of God's creation, and he is creating. He is unregenerated. He's not saved, and he is creating. Here we are. We are saved. And you know what we are doing? We are creating. God creates life inside of us, and what do? We create life inside of others. We create. We create capacities. We create joy. We create peace, not with our own strength, but with the strength that we have been strengthened with. You know, listen to this, guys. We are not designed to only receive from God. God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you joy. God wants to give you all these things, and it is amazing. But we were not designed to only receive that. We were meant to give it. Where I become a participant of God's work. And here is God, and he's saying, I have given you something, not so that way you can receive it and put it in your pocket, but so you can be active in my walk with others. So you can be active in my work. So you can be active in other people's lives and be a vessel. Be a vessel of salvation, maybe. I mean, how many times we hear stories over stories over stories, going out soul winning, knocking on a door, and somebody who's going to commit suicide. I mean, how many of those stories do we have in our own ministry? What is that? We are strengthened with the strength of God. Not only for overcoming our own weaknesses, but for being involved in other people's lives. And it kind of ends, it says, by his Spirit. These three things are so important in my life. The riches of God's glory, the strength of God, the Spirit of God. You know, it is all God. I am not there at all. It is my inner man that is being affected by these three things. My inner man is being affected by these three things. I am being affected by God's opinion about me. I am being affected by God's strength. I am being affected by the Spirit of God. I am being influenced here. And again, back to Psalm chapter 90, here is Israel. You know, they are in this place where they are being influenced by God. And God is saying, I am pouring my glory on you. I am pouring my strength on you. I'm pouring my spirit on you. And it's all on your inner man. And here we're like, nope, nope, nope. I want some meat, you know. I want some meat. I want a good, you know, steak. I want this. You know, I want that. You know, the natural man was thinking naturally. They were not thinking with their spiritual man. That inner man was unregenerated. You know, back to Psalm chapter 90. God wants us, our inner man, to be strengthened so we can be in a place where there is wisdom. And the Bible says, any man that lacks wisdom, just ask of me. You know, we ask God, you know, give us a little wisdom here. What are we asking God? We're asking God to put me in a place where your spirit can influence my inner man. That's really what we're asking. So many times when we ask God for wisdom, we are sitting in our bed and we are worried about something and we're asking God how to deal with this problem. We never really thought about that prayer, what that actually means. What that prayer actually means is, God, put me in a place where my inner man is being influenced by the Spirit of God. And when God answers that prayer in his way, we don't necessarily like it. You know, we're like, no, God, you didn't understand. You know, here's my problem. I need a solution. You know, that is wisdom. The solution to my problem is the wisdom that I want. But you're telling me what? You know, I'm having money problems and you want me to sign up for Bible school? What? Well, you know what? That is where you're going to be influenced. Your inner man is going to be influenced by the character of God. And that is where you need to be. Because that is where you are going to be prosperous. That is where you are going to receive wisdom. You know, the Hebrew word for wisdom is beautiful. You know, here's what it means. I never knew this before. You know, wisdom, it means to be skilled in war. Isn't that good? Wisdom means to be skilled in administration, to be skilled in our walk with God, to be skilled in making moral decisions. That's what wisdom really is. To be skilled in war, to be skilled in administration, to be skilled in our walk with God, and to be skilled at making, you know, moral decisions. You know, I don't know if you guys have been outside today, you know, but there's a war going on out there. You know, and it's a war for your inner man. Because if Satan would have nothing more than to have your inner man shrivel up and die, he would want nothing more for your inner man to be unregenerated. He'd want nothing more for your inner man not to be influenced, but to be alienated from the life of God. That's what Satan wants. And he does many things to do it. You know, and it happens different than in America than it does other places. I mean, as we travel the world, we see Satan's attack to influence the inner man to be alienated from God is different here. It is different there. It is different here. And you know what? We are not novices. You know, we have the living God inside of us. He knows what Satan is thinking. And we have to listen to God and be ready for that. Because you know what? There is a war out there, and I am skilled in it. Why? Not because I work out, not because I have knowledge of the Word of God, but because I have allowed the living Word of God to influence my inner man. Because I have allowed the living Word of God to draw me into a place where I am not alienated, but I am like in the inner circle with God. And that's what we are. We are in the inner circle with God. When I allow... When I allow to be influenced, and I'm not being, when I'm incorruptible, that incorruptible seed that Peter talks about, you know, that incorruptible seed is inside of me, where I'm allowing these things to influence me, that is when I become skilled in warfare. You know, we're not running out here with swords. We're not running out here with guns and fighting a battle. We're out there running and fighting a battle for our souls. We're out there, you know, fighting a battle on who's going to influence me. Who's going to influence me? Am I going to allow the world system to influence me? You know, we said this morning, you know, garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. You know, intake, output. You know, I'm taking in the world. I'm taking in the world, you know, watching TV, worldly music, these kind of things. You know, I'm not condemning these things, but intake, 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 intake. Who's going to influence me when it comes to decision time? The world. But here I am. I find myself, and I like this, I find myself, you know, almost out of a need where I am in a place with God. I say, God, I am broken. I am before you. And there is this battle out here, and I am before you, and I need you to influence me. You open your Bible, and you don't even know what you're reading. You're so broken. How many times have you done that? You read your Bible, and you're like, what did I just read? You know, you go to pray, and you get so lost in your worry that you forgot you're actually praying. But do you know what? God sees your heart, that you're before him. He says, I'm here to renew you. I'm here to save you. And you know what? And then all of a sudden you find yourself, because of the strength of God, you find yourself being skilled in war. You know, Gideon wasn't an amazing fighter. He was just available to God. You know, wisdom in our walk, skill in our walk with God. I like that. Do we have skill in our walk with God? The more I allow the Holy Spirit to influence me, the more I allow the Word of God to influence me, I'm going to find myself skilled in my walk with God. What does that even mean? It means that I am recognizing where the Lord is moving, and that's where I'm going. I say, hey, God is here. Okay, I'm going to come over here. You know, and you don't, like, there's, in this sense, there's no respect. Like, oh, but I don't like that person over there. It doesn't matter. God is here. And that's where I am. Oh, wait a minute. This is happening over there. And then you find yourself walking that way. And God is here. But I don't like that restaurant. It doesn't matter. You don't have to eat. You know? How many people have we fit in Dunkin' Donuts without buying anything, you know? As greater gracers. You know, we find ourselves going from place to place. Why? Because the character of God is there. Because I am skilled in my walk with God. I'm able to see where God is. And that's where I want to be. And I encourage you to start doing that. You know, find a pastor, find somebody who has the anointing of God and follow them. As Paul says, as I follow God, follow me. You know, there is somebody who has the Word of God, and that Word of God is going to influence you. That Word of God has the potential to heal you. That Word of God has the potential to renew your mind. That Word of God has the potential to save you out of that trouble that you're in. But you are too stubborn to follow them. Because of personality, because of, and fill in the blank, you're too stubborn to do that. You know, don't be like the Jews in the wilderness, but see the presence of God and say, that is where I'm going to be. And just go there and just watch and see what God is going to do in your life. You know, how many of those Jews, you know, how many of them could have had something amazing happen in their life if they would have just listened to the voice of God? It's not because they didn't hear the voice of God. They heard it. But they were allowing something else to influence them. You know, and for them, it was their bellies. For them, it was, you know, fill in the blank. You know, it was many different things. And the last thing is that we become skilled in our morals. This is an interesting thing. Does God care about our morals? You know, different issues come up, you know, as times change, you know. And are they moral issues or are they spiritual issues? You know, if the Bible talks about them, they're spiritual issues. And they have to do with my life, you know, and they're going to affect, you know, they are going to affect my walk with him. They're going to affect the influence that the Holy Spirit has in my life. You know, there are sins in our life, and we're not here to, you know, bash on people for their sins. But there are sins in our life, and it's okay. You know, God has paid for them. We are forgiven. We love you. Come as you are. But just know that that sin has potential to influence you in the wrong way. I mean, that's all I want to say. I don't want to like bash, you know, we're all sinners here. You know, we are all sinners. We are all saved by the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But sometimes there is going to be a decision, and we're all going to have to make those decisions, big decisions, you know. And what's going to happen? I want to be influenced by God. I want to be in a place where I find my inner man coming into the presence of God. That's what Psalm 90, verse 12 is saying. I want to be in a place where my inner man, my soul, that part of me that is supposed to reflect the nature of God, that part of me needs to be in a place where it is in the presence of God. You know, that's the end story. That's it right there. My soul needs to be in a place where the presence of God is influencing. You know, and then, you know, the war, the walk with God, the morals, those are issues, but they are you know, they're kind of issues down here, really, because what really matters is that, am I here with God? Am I here with God? And we find in the Bible over and over again, they are sinners, the worst of all sinners. They were terrible, but you know, that did not affect their decision-making in this way, where they said, here is a man of God, I'm going to be here. Here is the Christ, I'm going to be here. Here is the Apostle Paul, I'm going to listen and follow him. Here is Peter, here is James, and they find themselves following, you know, these people of God, not because of personalities, but because the presence of God was there. They knew that that's what they needed for their soul. And you know what? They went into these places, and these issues of warfare, the issues of your walk with God, the issues of your morals, do they matter? Yes. But you know what? What really matters is, are you in the presence of God today? You know, and you know what? Let's be like David. You know, we sin, we get up, and we say, hey, God, I'm here. Let's just go forward with God. Let's find ourselves, you know, in the presence of God. Isn't that good? Wow. Just think about it for a minute. I want to be in a place where the Spirit of God is. I want to be in a place where the Spirit of God is. Just thank you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this message. I love how it says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And the reason is because we are saved. We have been influenced. We could say it in this way, you know, we are influenced by the blood of Christ. We have been saved. And we want to, Lord, and you know, this is us. We are sheep. We are dumb sheep. You know, and if we had our own way, we'd walk off a cliff. We'd find ourselves, you know, dead, you know, floating in the ocean or something. But you are our shepherd, it says in Jeremiah chapter 3. We heard this morning in Philadelphia, Jeremiah chapter 3, that you are our shepherd. And you want to lead us into a place where we are being influenced by the Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here, maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. It is a simple heart decision. You make the decision once in your life, and you are a child of God. And we ask that you'll do that tonight. And just as a way to express that yearning in your hearts, just say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner, but I am in need of a Savior. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be your child. I want to enter into heaven. I want you to begin to rule my life in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, and not sin, not the world, not situations. I want God to rule my life. If you said that prayer, for the first time, could you just raise your hand? The ushers are here. They have a gift they'd like to give you and talk with you. If there's somebody, anybody here receiving Christ for the first time. All right, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for who you are, what you're doing in our life. Continue to minister to us. Thank you for your faithfulness to our pastor at Eurocon, the anointing that was there. Thank you for your faithfulness to be anointed here. Just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.